Appreciate you guys honoring your pastors. Appreciate getting to be part of that. I do get to be, in one sense, a pastor here for a while, and I really appreciate just being part of this world. I've always been glad my sons are down here, because I think this church is very strong in grace, and I think that's one of the things that my sons need to experience in their Christian world, in their connection with God. And so I've been very appreciative for Owen and Brandon and what they brought there. This church is a church that's filled with love and acceptance, and I'm so thankful my family gets to be part of that. So I get to add some things of my own in the last over a course of time, and for this church, it'll be sort of a transitional thing, because hopefully transitional in some ways, because a different gift set gets brought in for a short period of time. That different gift set makes a difference in a certain way, and I hope I can do a value add here for the 9 months I'm here, and bring some more good to what's here. So I wanted to maybe share just a couple of possible applications. So there's some of you young single guys that appreciate Brandon, I think. Any young single guys here that can give an amen to what was shared there? I know a couple of you young single guys. A couple of you young single guys could go out and change Brandon's tire after the service. Take care of him. Take care of your pastor there. Yeah, it's flat. It's only flat on the bottom, but it's not going to work. And then I need a ride to the airport right after this. So I need to be there. I need to leave here probably just a little bit before noon. So there's a good chance you might miss some dessert even running me over there. But is there anybody here that can give me a ride to the airport? Okay. We'll see how that works. That sounds good. Sounds good. Okay. Well, I am glad I didn't prepare a sermon. That was a good thing. Being as we got about 15 minutes here, we're going to break bread at the end, and it'll be a time just to come before the Lord. Actually, I had shared we were going to finish this series, but as I thought about it, I realized I don't think I can finish yet. I just feel like there's more things I want to share. So we're going to do self-control in 2 weeks. Well, the next time I'm back, actually, we'll do self-control, which I think is in 2 weeks. Yeah. Brandon's going to talk about the Spirit next week. And this week, I am going to let you in on some of the things I've been meditating on that have really steered my own thoughts related to the Spirit. And I have been working on memorizing a section of Romans 7 and Romans 8. And in Romans 7 and 8, it talks about the Holy Spirit. It talks about the struggle we have with the flesh. And really, I think Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 are the Holy Spirit's explanation of what it means to live and understand the Christian life. It's really interesting. Probably those chapters, Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, are considered the most difficult chapters in all of the New Testament. Probably what Peter was talking about when he said, some of Paul's writings are difficult to understand. Over the course of my life, there's been no part of the Bible, not even Genesis, that I've spent more time in than Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Partly because I've been struggling with things in my own life and just wrestling with how do I get closer to God? How do I change? How do I find a closeness with God? And it seems like you just sense that somewhere there's something in here. And over the course of time, I have grown in an understanding, I think, of what it means. And of course, once you see it, it's like a lot of things. And it's like, well, it's not that hard. It's just right here. And I've learned a lot more. I've learned a lot more in memorizing these verses. And I just want to, what I want to do is I'm just going to recite them. I think it might take me about 10 minutes. And I'm ready to do this Scott, where's he at? I'm ready to do this word for word, all by myself. It is completely different when you're trying to use it as a communication to other people, so we'll see how I do. But what I've done is I've taken five different translations, two real literal ones, and then the New American and the ESV and the Net Bible and also the NIV, so I guess six different translations. And I have walked through those and in a sense, amalgamated them together. Most of it's the New American Standard. A couple places, I've even actually just put in a phrase, changed a word or two that really made it easier for me to think about it and communicate it. I think one of the reasons these passages are so hard for us is because in these passages, Paul puts so much stuff. It is like every single phrase is this entire galactic concept. And we're used to, in our English language, we just roll through sentences. And every third sentence should have something worth hearing in it. Paul did not write that way. It is so intense. It is so dense. And I think we get confused because it's just so thick. We just don't get it. And when you memorize something, that's one of the advantages of memorizing something, you really can't memorize it till it finally makes sense to you. And then you can start to hang on to it. And what I've found is that this passage, it made me think of the idea of fractals. You guys know what fractals are? Fractals are, they're these patterns, but there's patterns within patterns. And they just go down, 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 down. They never stop. And as I've memorized this section, I've begun to realize it is like this. This connects with this, and then this connects with this, and these connect inside themselves. And it's like I'm starting to see this is so, Paul's thoughts were so connected and so complete, and I'm sure the power of the Holy Spirit was in there. It's like the thing, you just keep going down, down, down. Even this morning as I was looking over this, I went, oh my goodness, this connects right here. And so I think it's not that it's so hard, but I think it's just that there's so many thoughts there. And we have to be willing to spend the time to get them out. So I share this for this reason. You and I are struggling. We share the common struggle to figure out what it means to live the Christian life. In this room, there are so many different stories. Some of us have known one another ever since our kids were 6 months old. Some of us are just getting to know one another. We all have our different challenges from our past. We've got our different struggles in the present. We've got our different personality quirks. And in all that, we're trying to come together and we're trying to find this Christian community. We're trying to find this Christian life together. How do we do that? And if you are intent on that pursuit, you understand the struggle of it. Probably even this morning, there's things you may have struggled with in connecting with people or feeling connected with. And I think in these passages, there are truths that walk us that way. This is what gets us there, is what's found here. And it's about the Holy Spirit. So I'm gonna try to walk through these and then just engage with a few thoughts at the end. I'll give you a few things to watch for. Here's a few interesting things. How many different laws are there? Interesting question. Because I used to think, man, there's just all kinds of laws. This is all just confusing. So how many laws does this passage talk about? What does this passage talk about with glory? What is our responsibility as Christians? That's a real key one. What is our responsibility as Christians? And what must God do? Last question. Who are you supposed to understand that you are? So let's just Let me pray here. Just ask that I won't be too distracting in my starts and stops. And this, that God is able to communicate with us just in His Word. Just in His Word. And I think the reason I'm doing this is because you can hear things from God when someone recites the Scriptures differently than when they just read them. And I'm hoping that that will happen for us. So Lord, I pray you God, I pray we'd hear things. We can give good sermons about these words. There's lots of good sermons, a ton of good sermons that can be given about this passage. We could sit and read this passage. I pray, God, you just let us kind of hear this passage as Paul might have shared it. He probably stood up and said things like this again and again and again in his life. In town after town after town, he said this. And people probably just were befuddled still, trying to understand what he was getting at. And Lord, I just pray that we would hear some pieces of this, each one of us. We'd hear a piece in here for us. We'd hear you speak to us. I ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that the law is spiritual, but is this recorded? Okay, good. I just want to make sure. I saw you look at your thing. We're good here, right? You're getting this recorded? Okay. I want to listen to this because I have another purpose for this. Okay, I'm sorry. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. I do not own what I do. For what I want to do, I am not doing. And the very thing I hate, I do. But if I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do, I agree with the law that the law is good. But now, it is no longer me doing it, but sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but it doesn't get lived out. The good that I want, I don't do. And I keep on doing the very thing I don't want to do. But if I am doing the very thing I don't want, it is no longer me doing it, but sin living in me. I find then this law that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that is in my members. What a wretched state I am in! Who will free me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Yes, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law could be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to spirit. Those who are of flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who are of spirit have their minds set on the things of spirit. The mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. The flesh mindset is hostile to God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able. And those who are in flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in flesh, but in spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. But if someone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus out of the dead lives in you, the one who raised Jesus out of the dead will also bring life to your mortal body through his Spirit who lives in you. Brothers, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to flesh. For if you live according to flesh, the outcome must be death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of sonship by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. The creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, so that it could exist in the hope of being liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom of the glory whole creation groans as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, yearning for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body into this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen isn't hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet see, we wait for it with eager anticipation. Romans 7, 14 through 8, 24. Now, Leah, I saw you sort of tracking with me. Did I miss a section in there? Okay. So, 825 through 825. Thanks, Glenn. So what did you hear there? What caught you? As somebody walked it through slowly. How many laws? Okay, two or three or four. What's one law? What's that? There's that law of sin and death. So I find this law that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. It's like there's this thing that can't be changed. It's just locked in there. And he says it's a law. You want to do good. If you don't want to do good, then your mind is set on the flesh and you do not know Christ. What's the difference between you and someone who does not know Christ? You have the flesh, you can live in the flesh, you can walk in the flesh, but your mind is not set on the things of the flesh. If it is, you don't know Christ. Paul says, I desire to do what's right. I desire, it's in there. It's like, I want to be different. I want to change. I want to go a different direction. If you don't sense that, then not only is the law of sin in your members, but you are not of Christ. So one law, the law of sin. What's another law? Okay. And then, of course, the other one would be the law of God. There's the law of God. That was really big for Paul. He was a Pharisee. The law was huge for Paul. Where does the law fit? The law is really good. We know that the law is spiritual. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh. And then the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit. So there's the law of sin, the law of God, the law of the Spirit. And the law of the Spirit is the law of the Spirit. And that law is life. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Remember, it was at war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner. You are a prisoner. I don't care how much theology you know. You are a prisoner of the law of sin in your members. You are caught. You can't get out. In you dwells, in you, O Christian, in you, O Christian, dwells no good thing. That is, in your flesh. All the truth you know only makes you want to go the right direction more. But it's only the Spirit that can bring life to your mortal body. It's only the Spirit that can actually enable you to live it out, to walk in what you want, to walk in what you want. You don't have that power within you. And if you think you're going to find it within you, you'll be incredibly frustrated. You'll feel like such a failure. You won't succeed, though you desperately desire it. Paul says, what a wretched state I'm in. This is horrible. Who will free me from this body of death? No one wanted to do right more than Paul as a believer. And he sensed this incredible tension because he kept finding himself doing the wrong thing. And the evil, and I keep on doing the evil I don't want. You ever feel that way? Why can't I get this? Though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus out of the dead is living in you, he who raised up the Christ out of the dead will also bring life to your mortal body through his spirit who lives in you. So what's our part? Therefore, brothers, we are under obligation. What's our obligation? To live as sons, that would be, and what do I do? Put to death. So that's possible. Through the Spirit, I can put to death. I can't put him to death. Without the Spirit, I lose. I lose the battle. But through the Spirit, and that's the amazing thing. Like, God, how do I do that? How do I do that? I want to grow in that understanding more and more. I want to walk yielded to the power of the Spirit so that when you connect with me, I can let go of my garbage, let go of my stuff, and I can connect with you in life. In life. That comes from the Spirit. We, and I am going to close up here because we're going to break bread together. Brandon's going to walk us into that. But in Romans 6, Paul says, hey, don't you get it? You're free from sin. Act like you're free from sin. And if you just get as far as Romans 6, you go, oh, yeah, I just got to believe this. I just got to believe I'm free from sin, and I live like I'm free from sin. And then he gets into Romans 7, and he says, you know what? You're not going to do it. You're going to fail. You're going to know the truth, and you're not going to walk in it. Because there's a law. Though you desire to do what's right, you are imprisoned by the law of sin in your members. And only the Spirit will let you go where your heart wants to go. That's why we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. That's why we're talking about what the Spirit does in our life. Because I can fool myself. Hey, I want to be a good guy. I really want to be a good guy. Yeah, I really do. I mean, I'd love to be a wonderful person, and I know I'm going to be because that's what I want to be. Paul says, no, you do want that, and good for you, and you're not going to do it. Unless you are moved by the very power that raised a man from the dead. That's what it takes, John, to get good stuff out of your fallen body, but you have a hope. What's your hope? I have saved into this hope. One day, this body will be redeemed, and I'll be free.